Each week I have the privilege of coming up here to share the Word of God, and I usually start out with good morning, and every week it just feels so inadequate to say good. You know, it's like, there's, man, that is just not sufficient, but good morning. Wow, God's awesome. We're going to continue our prayerful journey through the Psalms today, and we're going to be looking again at Psalm 119. If you'd open your Bibles, please, to Psalm 119, and we'll have a little bit of sword drill along the way. We'll look at some other passages as well, but Philippians 4:19 says, "My God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Amen. I was reading about a pastor, a Puritan pastor, John Janeway, and he had a friend who was really going through a tough time with anxiety. And this friend was a believer, but for whatever reason, he just had this spiritual angst, and he was questioning his salvation and just really having a great struggle. And Pastor Janeway wrote a letter to him. I just want to share briefly what he expressed through that. He wanted to express comfort and express God's love to his friend who was struggling. And this is what Pastor Janeway wrote. He said, "Oh, stand still and wonder. Behold and admire his love. Consider what thou canst discover in this precious Jesus. Here is a sea, cast thyself into it, and thou shalt be compassed with the height and depth and breadth and length of love, and be filled with all the fullness of God. Is that not enough? Wouldst thou have more? Fling away all excepting God, for God is a sufficient portion, and the only portion of the soul." Possibly the greatest understatement you will hear today, God is enough. God is enough. Maybe the greatest understatement you will hear this year, if God is your portion, God is sufficient. He is enough. Amen. You know, there's oftentimes I struggle just like you do to maybe turn to the things the world does for what I think I need. Sometimes I turn to people around me. And God gives us people in our life to be a help to us. But sometimes I trust in people, or sometimes, heaven forbid, maybe we trust in government. Yeah, maybe you have an extra portion of grace if that's you. You know, sometimes we trust in ourselves, and I have found that's one of the worst mistakes I ever make. But sometimes I think we turn to these other things because we forget in the moment, God's enough. God's enough to meet all of my needs, and he can work through whatever means he wants, but now, looking in the Word of God in the Old Testament, in the days of Elijah the prophet, Israel was going through a drought, and they turned to a false god, a Canaanite god, that they thought maybe would end the drought for them, Baal and the god of rain. But it's God. When the prophet prayed, God sent rain, and he's the one who met their need. Many times over, Israel was being threatened by enemies, and again, even though they knew Yahweh could deliver them, they would go back to Egypt and say, "Egypt, would you align with us? Would you help us and save us and give us safety?" But the stanza we're looking at today in Psalm 119, we're going to start in verse 57. And in this section here, the psalmist begins his prayer with this declaration that Almighty God is enough. Almighty God is what we need. Starting in verse 57, the psalmist wrote, "You are my portion, Lord. You are my portion, Lord. I have promised to obey your words. I have sought your face with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. I have considered my ways and turned my steps to your statutes. I will hasten and not delay to obey your commands. Though the wicked bind me with ropes, I will not forget your law. At midnight, I will rise and give you thanks for your righteous laws. I am a friend to all who fear you, to all who follow your precepts. The earth is filled with your love, Lord. Teach me your decrees." I want to pause there for a moment and just give you and I an opportunity to make that first part of that first verse there to be our prayer today, that, "Lord, you are my portion. Lord, you are my portion. Lord, you are my dwelling place. You are enough for me." Now, Kim and I, when we go out to eat. My wife, I'm blessed with a wife who's a wonderful cook, so I like it when we stay at home. But I also really enjoy going on dates with her, and we'll go out to eat, and usually Cracker Barrel because of Grace. Yeah, it's the best. But we're just at a place in life where we split our meals for different reasons. I mean, we don't eat as much as we used to, and I've always been pretty cheap. I don't want to spend any more than I have to, so we'll split meals, or if we go to Cracker Barrel, we'll both get kids' meals. But most of the time, we'll split a meal, and what we'll do is we'll divide everything in half. There's Kim's portion, her share, and there's my portion, my share. The Hebrew word here in verse 57 for portion, though, that we translate into portion, it is a real estate term. It has to do with the division of land. And Joshua, in the book of Joshua, talks extensively about this, the distributing of the land to the tribes. But the Levites were different than the other tribes. The tribes would all get their share of the land, but the Levites and the priests, the Word of God says that their portion was the Lord, that they didn't need a portion of the land. And each of those tribes, as they received a portion of the land, they got all the resources that were in their portion. Same is true with King David in Psalm 16. King David wrote, "Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my God. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you are my portion. Lord, you are my portion. You are my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines," David said, "have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance." Amen. David's referring to these boundary lines, the portion, the property lines of a land. And he's saying, God, my boundaries, my inheritance is the Lord God. Yahweh himself is my portion. Well, today, for those who are in Christ, I want us to recognize that we are wealthy. We are spiritually rich because God himself is our portion. He is our dwelling place, and we have all the resources that go with being in Christ Jesus. Christ is our portion. Christ Jesus is our portion. In Colossians, in the book of Colossians in chapter 2, verse 9, it tells us that in Christ, all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. Verse 10 says that in Christ you have been brought to fullness. You are complete in Him. The Word of God says you have everything you need in Christ Jesus. You are brought to fullness in Him. Christ is your portion. In Colossians 3, it says that Christ is our life. He is our very life, and that Christ is all and in all. Because Christ is your portion, you've got everything you need. You have everything you need because you are in Him. In 2 Peter, in chapter 1, verse 3, it says that Christ has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who are called by His own glory and His goodness. I want to encourage you today, as Brother Dale often says, rejoice. Rejoice. Christ is your portion. I don't know what's going on with your bank account. I don't know what's going on with your relationships. I don't know what's going on in your neighborhood or your job, but I can tell you this. If you are in Christ Jesus, you are wealthy. Because He is your portion today. Christ is our portion. And because Christ is our portion, life with God is your portion as well. When you are in Christ, when He is your portion, you are wealthy, and life with God is also your portion. John 14 and verse 23, the Word of God says, Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home, our dwelling place with them." You have Christ as your dwelling place. You and I get to do life in Christ and with Christ. The Holy Spirit indwelling every believer. There's so many wonderful aspects of that. I'll touch on one. His guidance. because you are in Christ and you get to do life with Him. I need this desperately every day of my life for Him to guide me and direct me and to lead me. And I was thinking about this. There's a lot of different ways you can look for guidance. There's a lot of ways you can look to get somewhere. You know, one of the ways back in the day, you could have your Rand McNally Road Atlas. And if you're good with maps, you could figure it out. You know, if you know, here's my general destination. I'm trying to make it to Kansas City or wherever. You get out your road atlas. Maybe you've got a good navigator with you. But you would look at that, and that would help you get to that destination. Maybe. Today we have apps. I like directional apps a lot. I can still get lost even with a directional app. But we've got these apps, but you've got to know where you're going, right? You've got to have the address to put into the app to get you where you're going to get to. But when you are in Christ Jesus and you have the Holy Spirit in you and you can go to God in faith and you could, because I don't know where God wants to take me today. I don't know the address. I don't know what He's got in store for His glory to make Himself known. I know I've got my agenda, but it's so much better when God's agenda is lived out, right, each day. Starting the day, surrendered to Him and saying, God, You take me where You want to take me and You get me there how You want to get me there. When I get there, You do what You want to do. He's the only one who knows how to do that. And one of the best ways to get to a destination is to be guided by somebody who knows what your destination is, right? So we have this joy, this ability in Christ every day to have this guidance because we are in Him, for the Holy Spirit to just take us where He wants us to go. And that is our portion. That's part of our portion. Life with God is our portion. A third thing today, friendship with God is our portion. Friendship with God is our portion. Jesus said in John 15:15, I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. I was reading about a Christian man who met this back in the day. They called them peddlers, but a merchant. And that Christian man said to the merchant, he greeted him, and he said, Brother, it's such a great day to be in Christ. It is such a great day to be saved. And this peddler, who was a Christian man also, this merchant, he said, you know, I think I know something as good as that. I think I know something that is as good as saying it's a great day to be saved. And the man said, what could that possibly be? What could possibly be so great? And he said, the companionship of the man who saved me. I have the companionship of Jesus. Jesus is with me. He is my friend. And if you are in Christ, you have fellowship with Him. You have friendship with God. You have friendship of the man who saved you. What a wonderful treasure. What a blessing from God. That's part of our portion. If you are in Christ, you have that resource in your life. Friendship with God and Jesus Christ. Obedience to God is our portion. Obedience gets a bad rap. Sometimes. Obedience to God is our portion. Listen. I might shock a few of you with this. I'm not intending to. We don't have to obey God. We get to. We get to obey God. And it is a joy. And it's a delight to obey the Lord. Thank you for praying for me in that moment. When you are living life with God and you are living life with Him as your friend, obedience is a delight. Obedience to the Lord is a delight. Before we were in Christ Jesus, we couldn't. We were slaves to sin. Amen. But our Lord Jesus Christ, listen, when He has brought us into this relationship with Him, we have all these riches revealed in His Word, and we get to obey. We get to obey. The psalmist here in Psalm 119 makes all these promises back to God. God, I want to obey You. I want to obey Your Word. And he says there in verse 57 in today's passage, I have promised to obey Your words. Be gracious to me according to Your promise. I have turned my steps to Your statute. There in verse Verse 59, I will obey your commands, he says. I will not forget your law. I will give thanks for your righteous laws. I'm going to follow your precepts, God. I'm going to follow your ways. Teach me your decrees, he says. When you were a follower of Jesus, and I know this always doesn't come right away, but when you're a follower of Jesus, you learn the joy of walking in obedience. It is a good thing to obey the Lord. It's a delight. You know, sometimes we get it twisted. I've heard pastors say before, I've heard teachers say before that we obey the Lord in order to receive from the Lord. That's not true. That's not true. God is gracious. And all the things He has to give us are out of His grace. All the wealth and riches spiritually that we have, all the promises of God are of His grace and of His mercy. And He loves His children. He wants to lavish us with His goodness and with His grace. And Christ Himself is your portion. But like the psalmist, you know, we accept this inheritance from God. We accept our portion from God and we delight in it and we trust in Him to supply for our needs, and we receive grace, we receive mercy. It is all according to the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 25, Paul wrote, eat anything sold in the meat market without raising questions of conscience, for the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And he's echoing King David from Psalm 24, and he's saying, listen, you can enjoy what God's given you to enjoy. Everything belongs to Him. If He's given it to you, it's okay to enjoy that, and we can receive from Him. And He blesses us so much. And His blessings are unearned so that He gets all the praise and glory. But sometimes out of love, He will withhold those blessings for a season if we're in disobedience. And He does that for our good. He will withhold those blessings. There are times over and over with the people of Israel where they were following after idols. It ends in death. And for out of goodness, God would chasten them to bring them back. He would correct them because He loved them, and He does the same for me and you. If He is withholding blessing in your life, it's not because He doesn't love you, it's because He does. There are times that in whatever way, whether it's in my heart or my mind, I start chasing after something other than God. And He will graciously put a boot to my backside and get me back on track. And He does that for us. He will bring us into this realization where He'll say, James, I may give you that, I may not give you that, but that's not what you need. You have what you need. You need me. You've got what you need. Stop chasing after things. Let me give you what I give you and withhold what I withhold. Pastor John Piper said, what's the deepest root of your joy? What's the deepest root of your joy? Is it what God gives you, or is it who God is to you? God will discipline us because He loves us. And He will lead us into the greater joy of knowing that He's enough. He is my portion and He's enough. He does that for us as we trust Him and follow Him and walk in the joy of obedience. Proverbs 3 tells us, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Do not resent His rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those He loves. Amen? He is so good. As a father, the son that He delights in. It is so much better to just lovingly obey our Father, to walk in the delight of that and experience the goodness of that. You know, the Bible tells us, consider our ways over and over. In every way, we're told to let the Holy Spirit examine us. Ask Him if there's any evil way, if there's any way off track. And you know, one of my practices, and I know a lot of you probably pray things similar to that, but I just, every day, presenting myself before the Lord, God, You already own me, but here's my body. You own my soul, God, but here's my soul. You own my mind, God, here's my mind. You own my heart, God, but here's my heart. And it is Yours, and I present it to You today, God, and You do what You want to do. Help me to walk in your will and to walk in your ways and to know you more. We open up the Word of God. Because if we don't, we go astray. But we open the Word of God and let it speak to us. We read something like Proverbs 4:18, which says, "The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter until the fullness of day." And I read things like that and I say, "God, put me on that path. Help me to walk in faith. Help me to walk in obedience, God. Put me on that righteous path today. Help me to walk in your statutes, God." And we trust him to do it. We trust in his presence. We trust in his goodness and his holiness. To know God, to trust and obey the Lord, to experience his love and his mercy, that should be our greatest joy. Let's look at that last verse there in today's passage. "The earth is filled with your love, Lord." I know it's easy to look around and this world has issues. God is good, but people are messy. And there's like 7 billion of us, so there's a lot of mess. But you know what? The earth is filled with the love of God. Amen. He is so good. God, the earth is filled with your love. Teach me your decrees. The love of God is our portion. The love of God is our portion, and his love satisfies. It refreshes us. And as hard as our lives are here sometimes in this world, and God has a wisdom in that as well, through all the good and the bad, it is an opportunity to experience the love of God. He is so faithful. He is so good. Despite my weaknesses and failings, my sin, he loves us so much. And he is so kind to us. And we have so much cause to rejoice every day in the love of God. The love of God is our portion. Now, if you are here today or watching online, and maybe you've been living life taking God for granted, maybe you don't know him. You know, the Bible tells us to acknowledge him in all of our ways. And maybe you haven't been acknowledging him in part of your life, or maybe not acknowledging him at all, not really thinking about him much, or maybe you have. But I would tell you that for life to make sense at all, and for you to experience peace with God and to experience life and friendship with God, to know him, it begins with understanding I need God's forgiveness. I need his mercy. I need his grace, and he wants me to have that, even more than I need it. He wants me to have those things. He wants those for me so much that he sent a son to come and go to that cross and to carry my sin and my shame and my guilt, that all of it could be nailed to that cross, that I could not only be forgiven but have newness of life in Christ. And he did that for every one of us. He radically loves you so much. And maybe God's speaking to your heart today about that. I want to encourage you, no matter who you are, no matter what you have done, Christ died for you. He died for you to save you. Please join me in prayer. Worship team, you can come back up. Our wonderful Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the wondrous truth that you, Lord, are the portion of all those who would trust in Jesus Christ, who would turn their back on the darkness and turn towards your mercy and your grace and trust in you, Lord, and what you did on the cross to save us. Thank you, Lord, that no matter where we go in the world, you are our dwelling place, and that we have life in you. Thank you, Father, that no matter what any of our brothers or sisters today may be going through, no matter what we're going through, Lord, that you still remain God. That nothing catches you by surprise. And even as the storms of life are raging and we become fearful and anxious, that you are in the boat, that you are with us. Amen. Thank you, God, that you never leave or forsake us, that even in the lowest valleys, God, you are present with us and you are a friend. And that you love us. Even when we are faithless, you are faithful, God. Thank you for that. Thank you for redeeming us by the blood of Christ. Thank you, God, that you are with us. And thank you, Lord, that you are our portion. Father, we pray now for your mercy toward anybody who has not received that free offer of salvation yet. God, that your Holy Spirit would draw them to the truth. That Christ came and lived that perfect life that they could not, went to that cross and died for them, was buried and rose again. And that if they could call upon the name of the Lord, that you are faithful and you will forgive. That you'll bring them into the family, fully forgiven, a son or daughter, Lord. We pray that no one would leave today without experiencing that wondrous joy of salvation. God, we ask it for your glory and for your joy. Amen.